triple triplet, didn't he? He got the triple triplet. He got the 100, the 200, and he got the relay 400. And he started in 3 Olympics. But in actual fact, I found the first triplet long before, you know, probably 2 years ago. And it was the parable of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. And Jesus taught that. There's only 3 parables he taught at one time. And so that's a triplet, and those parables are all about grace, all about the love of the Father for the lost. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. And so I'm just going to put up here on screen. And then there's another triplet is the triplet of Psalm 22, where most of Jesus' words that he uttered on the cross are there in Psalm 22. You know, why, etc. Why hast thou forsaken me, etc. And this is another amazing triplet. I wrote a book a number of years ago on the names of God, about summoning of the names. There's a lot of names. They all talk about his nature. But the Lord reminded me to go back and have a look at this in the life of Abraham. And so I'm going to show you this. Right. And I bless you with this amazing triplet, that your faith-grace journey may become incredibly productive. How many just want to enjoy life being fruitful? Glory to God. Full of fruit, you know. And the great thing is God wants to bless us. When he sent Abraham out, he said, you know, all of a sudden God just came to Abraham and he said, I want to bless you. That's how it all started. He said, I want to bless you. That's the nature, the deepest. If you really want to know the nature of God, is he just can't wait to bless you. He wants to bless him. And of course, Abraham got in the road of his blessing sometimes. His Achilles heel was that he promoted himself. And, you know, he didn't quite get it together. I love what Joseph Prince says, though. He said, you know, even though Abraham made mistakes about half lies and half truths about his wife, you know, and how she went into the king's harem, and twice he did that. And another time he married the servant girl to try and get his boy, you know, to fulfill the promise of God. It's like a bit of self-effort, his Achilles heel. And compromise was his Achilles heel. When you get in the New Testament, Joseph said, it just speaks in Hebrews and says that Abraham never wavered. And he said, you know, never wavered in the promise that it made, that he would be a great nation and that God would greatly bless him. You know? And he said, he asked God, he said, you know, ask the Holy Spirit, whoever you want to address, Jesus. He said, why is that there's no mention? And he said, you know, God never takes into account our mistakes of the past.
Amen.
When he's recording what happened. In the end, he was one of the most powerful and richest men in the world at that time. People would just come to his presence and bow down to him. He was full of wisdom. He had many children after Sarah gave birth. And, you know, it started, though, with a promise from God. He said, hey, I want to bless you. How many of you would love that if God just came to your bedroom one night, or God came to you while you were walking home from the bus or the train, and God just said to you, you know, I want to bless you. Wouldn't that be exciting? Wouldn't that be exciting? You'd be full of, you might be full of apprehension, but most of the times, I guess, grace people would be saying, that's what I wanted all the time, Lord. I want to do the best. But sometimes, you know, there are things in our lives that God, you know, says, you know, we take the reins ourselves. And we don't rest in his word. When he says, I will bless you, it's I will. It's new covenant stuff. I will write my ways on your heart. The old covenant, the law wasn't really a covenant, it was a contract, but the old law was, you know, thou shalt, you will. The new covenant is I will. Now, so when you go back to Abraham, okay, right back to Abraham, I don't know, what was that? 800 years before the cross? Something like that, or more. I don't know. I've got my notes here. Where I look. All right, let's have a look. We're going to quickly go through the introduction. As I've been talking, that's part of the introduction. And then I'm going to go into this triplet of names. So I'm going to tell you what I'm going to tell you. I'm going to go, if I can, in the time allotted, I'm going to give you the three names of ale, and they're called Aloistic names. And I'd written about them years ago before I found Grace, and now I've found that they're a Grace triplet. It's amazing. There were just three names. There was Al Elyon, so that Abraham could come in and become a very wealthy and productive man. Okay? Through the blessing of Melchizedek. Who was a type of Christ? Hello? Hello? Who was a type of Jesus? Okay, don't get caught up, you're reading too much. You can take it home and read it. And then secondly, he was gonna come to him and give him a revelation that he's El Shaddai. It's the only female name of God, and that is, he's going to nurture and breastfeed him, and he's going to circumcise his flesh, the very penis that is causing the problem, you know. Yeah. And he's now married off to another lady, etc., and got another son called Ishmael, you know. No, that wasn't the chosen seed. Through Abraham would come Jesus, not through Ishmael though, through Isaac, the chosen one, through Sarah. So Sarah has her miracle too, and that's all under El Shaddai. And then finally he rests at Beersheba, and he plants a tree to show that he's rested. And he rests there, and then God says, come up onto the mountain and sacrifice your son, your only son. And Abraham says, no problem. He says to the boy, we're coming back again. But he prepares the altar, and he's prepared to slay him. And Hebrew says he's actually believing that God will resurrect his son. So strong was his faith. So strong was this man's faith. And so, you know, I'm just going to talk to you about these three grace, I was going to say tablets, they're not tablets. Okay, they're not something you take, you know, to get grace. Like that. These are three beautiful grace truths, all right? So you can put that up on you if you're taking any notes. You could put up there, again, there's a grace, and it's Al Elyon. It's El Shaddai, and it's El Olam. Our God hears me, and he commands the times of my life, the chapters of my life. Isn't it beautiful? When you look out here and you see this garden, you know, I know man's been involved in the garden there, but you see the native, you know, the tropical forests here along the coast of the east coast of Australia, and, you know, you go up to Townsville and you go up there, the Kent and that, and you go up to the African Tablelands, and you can go through some of the forests, just like you can south of Sydney, you go up to Canberra, up those mountains there, and the range and the Great Divide. You know, the Garden of God is very beautiful.
Yeah.
He's a very beautiful person, God.
Yeah.
He's very kind. He's really a nice person. And with his rulership, there is kindness. All right, we're going to get into this. Let's have a look then at the first slide, and you can have a look at your notes if you wish. Here we go. All right, God's name shows his characteristics or aspects of his nature. So you can put in your memory, names equals nature. Okay? And at Grace, we're good at bringing those names out, aren't we? We love it. So also, Christ is the visible of the invisible. Christ shows us the Father. He who has seen me has seen the Father, he said to Philip. Is that true? By the way, you can say amen in this.
Yes.
Yeah? So Jesus is God in the flesh. He reveals the nature of God. John 1:14-18. Pick up your notes in your second page, and just have a look at it, and we'll read those together. And so at the top of the page, okay, it says, so it's the front side, I don't know if it doesn't say front or back. This is the one that starts with John 1:14. Can you see that? You ready? John 1:14. And the word Christ became flesh, human incarnate, and tabernacle, fixed his tent of flesh, lived a while among us, and we actually saw his glory. Glory there means nature, okay? His honor, his majesty, such glory as an only begotten son receives from his father. Like father, like son. Full of grace, favor, loving kindness. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
When you saw Jesus, he was full of grace and loving kindness. That was reflecting his father's heart.
Yeah.
He only did what the father told him. See? And it says this, no man has ever seen God at any time, the only unique Son. And that word Son means the full expression of God. Like he brought God out, it will say that, or the only begotten God who is in the bosom, in the intimate presence of the Father, he has declared him. Can I hear an amen? Yeah. He has revealed him and brought him out where he can be seen. So we know what God's like because Jesus is a historical figure who came from heaven to us to reconcile us back to the Father. Yep. Okay. And he's revealed him and brought him out where he can be seen. He has interpreted him and he has made him known. And look at Colossians. I love this part. In whom we have redemption through his blood, which means the forgiveness of our sins. I love this part. Look, he is the exact likeness of the unseen God. Now, that is since he's resurrected. He did limit himself on earth. He wasn't omnipresent when he was on earth. After he's resurrected, he was. Okay. And Jesus, and the Father bestowed back on him all the things that he had at the beginning when he was the Logos. He is the exact likeness of the unseen God, the visible representation of the invisible. He is the firstborn of all creation. For it was in him that all things were created, in heaven and on earth, things seen and things unseen, whether thrones, dominions, rulers, or authorities. All things were created and exist through him. Isn't that amazing? By his service, intervention, and in and for him. And he himself existed before all things, and in him all things consist. I wish science would take notice of this. He also is the head of his body, the church. That's us. Seeing he is the beginning, the firstborn from among the dead, so that he alone in everything and every respect might occupy the chief place, stand first, and be preeminent. That's what we want in our church, amen? Yeah. For it has pleased the Father that all the divine fullness, the sum total of all the divine perfection, powers, and attributes should dwell in him perfectly. Since it's Sunday, and since we're not doing business on Sunday, it might be nice to turn our mobile phones off. And Friday and that in our other churches where we're not on Sundays, we all leave mine on. I leave mine on as well. All right, here we go then. So that's the first thing. Jesus also is what the names are. So if we see that God's name is El Elyon, we can look in the New Testament and see if Jesus is El Elyon. He is the exact representation of the Father. All right? He makes the invisible visible. Can you say amen?
Amen.
All right. Now, something helpful for understanding Old Testament writings. This is the Old Testament writings, not the New Testament, because the New Testament's in Greek. In the Old Testament, when you get capital G-O-D, okay, that is Yahweh or Yehovah. Yahweh is the correct term. It's the tetragrammaton, Y-H-W-H. E.g. Genesis 15:2, where he says, I am who I am. And someone said, that's a triplet, because I was, I am, I will be. So that's sort of like another triplet as well. The I am. And Jesus said that 27 times. In the Gospel of John, I am Yahweh. That's your name. Jesus means Yahweh saves. It's really interesting. All right, here we go. Where it is G-O-D, little, big G, little O, little D, it is normally Elohim. In the beginning, God created. Now, all our Bibles just got God. And you might not know that they're differentiating the names of God by using capital letters or little letters. So I wanted to talk to you about this. In your Bible. Okay? So where it is G-O-D, little G-O-D, or big G, it is normally Elohim, which is the God family. Or the God, some people call it the God club. And then he said, let us make man. So it's a plural noun. But that Lord is not plural noun. God, okay, Yahweh is not a plural noun. It's the I am who I am. I is singular there. Occurring about 2,275 times in the 39 books of the Old Testament. All right? Just keep this rattling on here. All right. Occasionally, God is E-L. Capital E, little L. Ale. Everyone say ale. As in Adam's ale. And it's about 225 times. In fact, it is exactly because I've been through my concordance and come to look at everyone down the door. 225 times in the Old Testament. Okay? But this word, E-L, and it's God, is totally different than this word. It has a totally different meaning. That God and that God is the same God, but they're referring to something totally different. Okay? Did you know this? Okay. Now, I'll just press both these here, look. Now, El is also used as a compound name. Compound name means two words. So it's, you know, got two ingredients. El Elyon, that's what we're going to study today, and we're going to find it in the New Testament. And as Jesus is our Elyon, and we are sons of El Elyon. El Shaddai, God Almighty, that's the Shad means woman's breast. That means that He's Almighty to nurture us and give us life. And to provide reproduction through us, etc. El Olam, God of the ages, the calendar God. Now, this grace triplet is revealed to help Abraham come into his complete covenant that God said, I will bless you. Now, in the new covenant, God has also said, He will bless you. Hello? In the new covenant, God has said He would bless us. Through Christ. With abundance. Yeah? Yeah, my God shall supply all your need. Usually God in the New Testament is just Theos, as we've got little Theo Grace, little Theo going and Daisy's little boy. This grace triplet is revealed to help Abraham, later Abraham come into his complete covenant inheritance. This will bless you in your grace journey. In your great, I can't take any questions. Otherwise I'll get distracted. I wonder where I'm going. I want you to know that when Abraham comes into these three names here, they're like grace revelations. So immediately when he comes into this, he gets blessed financially. And I'll just show you that. He is absolutely blessed, but he knows to trust God for his possessions, not self-effort. When he gets his little son Isaac, it's a result of getting this name. He knows that the people that he gets. Now, churches should listen to this, and this is how they should grow. The pastor should not be worried about how many people come. We are not counting numbers, right? No. So I'm not racing after people. If they're sick and that, I might race after, but I'm not. If someone leaves our church, I'm not racing after them to say, oh, you must come back into our church. I'm trusting God to build the church. It's His church.
Yes.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
I've got to be at rest in that. I want to be at rest in the finances. This is my job. You've got a job. Resting in that, what God has led you into. Resting God for the people He brings into your life. And this one for the time calendars, the chapters of our lives. There was something my brother Peter used to, and it's old, he's passed on now. I think it was Days of Our Lives, wasn't it? He used to watch that TV thing, Days of Our Lives. Do you remember Days of Our Lives? There was a shocker. There was a shocker, American flush down the toilet, you know, on that one. Now, okay. The Hebrew word ael basically means strength, power. So this is slide 3. Strength, power, might, ability. But the main thing I want to tell you, it means God can intervene. Ael means God intervenes. Everyone just say that with me. Ael means God intervenes. So every time you get the mention, it's only 225 times in the Bible where ael is used, it means strength, power, might, ability. It means God's power, ability to act, especially to intervene or deliver in times of stress. E.g. Jesus' words on the cross. What did Jesus say on the cross? He actually spoke Hebrew and they thought he was saying Elijah. Eli, Eli, why hast thou forsaken me? Why did he yell out, ael, ael? Because that was what he did. My ael, why hast thou? Now I looked up this word forsaken because I've always thought, why would Father God forsake you at the most time, the most important time? And then, of course, we preach, you know, well, all the sin went on there, and Father God couldn't, you know, look upon sin. and it went dark, etc. But now I've got a better revelation. Listen to this. This is what God told me this week. Okay? This word forsaken, Oza. Okay? Why hast thou Oza me? My ailment. Why hast thou? It means this. Relinquish, loosen, permit. A letting go for a price paid. That's what that word for Satan. So when Jesus is on the cross and it goes dark for 3 hours, he was on the cross 6 hours only. Six is the number of man. And he's there in free light, 3 hours of light. Now on the cross, he's talking to the thieves and, you know, he's and this, that, and the other. And then thick darkness comes. And right at the end of that, you know, he's saying, why is that forsaken? And then right at the end of the darkness finishes when he says, it is finished. You read your Bible and have a look. Okay. But when he says, why hast thou forsaken me? He's actually saying, my God, my ail. He's yelling out for intervention in a sense. My ail, why hast thou cut me loose? Why hast thou permitted me? But he adds this, in this word, forsaken, it is a letting go of something so that a great payment can be made. It's like you've got a debt on your life, so you say, I'll sell my second car and pay it off. There was a debt that we could not pay, so Father God loosed, relinquished his hold in covenant on Jesus. Because they're in covenant, you know. So he said, I only do what the Father tells me. You know, he loosened his grip. And God said, my ail, he referred to daddy, not as my dad, he said, my ail, Eli, Eli, it is, why hast thou relinquished? The Hebrew word oza comes from the word itza. We know pizza, itza bone, not itza pizza. It's a bone, which means a letting go of something as a price payment. That's where Ozab. Can you see this? Zab? Ozab, can you see it there? Zab? The word forsaken me. He was saying, thou hast forsaken me to pay the price for humanity. So give him a hand. All right. Number four. Now, let's have a look, quick look at this ale before we get into ale or not. Ale, am I going too quick? Ale intervened for Moses. Now, ale is the great intervener. He spoke to the Lord and mentioned his name. Ale, Exodus 15:2, they came through the Red Sea. Did God intervene for them?
Yes.
You can all talk. Did God intervene?
Yes.
I love it when you shout out, yes.
Hallelujah.
I love it when you get involved, all right? Did he intervene?
Yes.
Yeah, he did. And when they got through, the girls took the tambourines and everything else. And it says, and if you have a look in Exodus 15:2, he changes the name from Lord, Moses does. And he, Lord, delivered us. Our Lord protected us and led us through. And he says, you are my ale and I will praise you. You are my ale. Now I'm bursting with this. But when Jesus was born, he was called Emmanuel. Emmanuel.
With us,
ale, it means. With us, Emmanuel. Emmanuel means with us. With us, ale. Ale came to earth to intervene in history. Come on. Fantastic. Hallelujah. Amen. Hope you don't mind me saying, come on. I'm not trying to hype you up, but. You know, I'm passionate about this. It's wonderful. And we'll praise him, my Father's God. Now, I wasn't supposed to tell you that. I was going to surprise you with that later. It just popped out. And I will praise him, my Father's God, Elohim. When it comes to God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, it's always Elohim, the covenant-keeping God. But it's still spelled the same in your Bible. It has totally different meaning. But you won't know that until you grab hold of this. Maybe some Bibles at the front of your Bible will tell you. Okay. All right, let's look at Joshua. Joshua said to the Israelites, come near, hear the words of the Lord your God, Elohim. Lord there, because it's not capital L-O-R-D, then it's not Yahweh. Okay? But Lord, your God, and it's actually just Elohim. Joshua said, hereby you shall know that the living God, El, is among you. Now, how would you know? And that he will surely drive out before you. Here's how you know whether you're in contact with El. That is, in your life, he intervenes. In your stress, he brings you into rest by intervening. Hallelujah. Look. He will surely drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Daniel, have a go at saying that, brother. Hail intervened for Jacob. His family situation was unfavorable. And this is very beautiful. Listen, here's this man struggling with this, and it was called the Son of Man, capital M. It was Jesus. It was a manifestation of Jesus. It wasn't just an angel. It was a manifestation of Jesus. When he has to go, and he's coming back to, I think Joey preached a great sermon about this. He was coming back to meet his brother that he'd fallen out of a relationship with. Do you remember? What was it? Esau. And he's coming back, and he puts his wife and others ahead of him, and then he's there alone, and he starts wrestling with this person, and he says, what is your name? What is your name? What is your name? You know? And then the guy tells him his name, and the Son of Man. He says, what about your name? He says, I'm changing your name from supplanter, okay, twister, okay, Jacob, to Israel. Israel. Now we've got a country in the world called Israel. And what it means he will intervene for them in ruling. In ruling. I remember, I'm old enough to remember, most of you will have heard about this, in the Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement, remember that? And while Israel was celebrating the Feast of Atonement, is that Yom Kippur? It is. Yom Kippur, was that Passover? I think it was Atonement. Anyway, Egypt flew in with its jets and sent its across the Suez Canal, right? Do you remember? And when they got in there, it took Israel by surprise. And the first day, Israel was on the back like that, and it looked like Israel was going to get wiped off the map. Because the Muslim countries just hate having Israel right next door. There is a hatred. And you know what? There was writing in the sky. In the sky, and those Egyptian tank drivers, I read it in Time magazine years ago, they climbed out of their tanks, took off their boots, and ran, and there was thousands of soldiers' boots lying in the desert. On there it put Yahweh or Yehovah fights for Israel. And it was written in the sky. And Time magazine saw it. And went and investigated it. God wants to intervene in your life. Amen? He wants to. Look, Al intervened with Moses' sister. You know, oh, by the way, he called it the house of El, Bethel. Bethel. The house of intervention. Wouldn't that be good to have it? You know, some churches are called Bethel churches. The house of intervention. And Al has intervened in our planet's history. Oh, Moses' sister got leprosy, and he got on his knees, and she was a younger brother, and he said, oh, Al, I beg of you, heal her. And God said, I could spit in her face for the trouble she's causing you. And he said, no, she's my sister. Heal her. And she was healed of her leprosy. Al intervened. Now, look at this. In 4 BC, Matthew 1:23. Gabriel comes, and he gives a message to this young girl called Mary. Behold, the virgin shall become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Which when translated means God ale with us. It means ale is with us. Then Joseph, being aroused in verse 24 from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him. He took her to his side, his wife, but he had no union with her as her husband until she had borne the firstborn. And he called his name Jesus, which means Jehovah saves. Now look, a lot of the Old Testament people have the name of God. Samuel, Ezekiel, Ezekiel, Yisra, you pronounce Israel as Yisra, Elijah, two names, El and Jehovah, Elisha. Some of them have got them in the front, like Elizabeth. Okay, front or back. Okay, they've got them, and you know, like when you're thinking of, I've got some of these down, like Samuel means herd of ale. Now, it's really beautiful. Hannah, where are you? Hannah means grace. And she came and she couldn't get pregnant to Elkanah. And she was struggling, and people were taunting her that she wasn't going to have children. And she went to the temple during the feast. She went to the temple. Eli was the high priest. He thought she was drunk. And she said, no. She said, I've come to ask for grace. Come and have a look at it. I've come to ask grace. And he blessed her. And he said, you can go to the home. You will not conceive. She went. He said, you will be blessed. You will conceive. And, you know, she went home. It says she was never upset anymore. And she gave birth to a boy called Samuel. Why did she give birth to Samuel? Because Ale had intervened in her barrenness. Ale intervened. This is one of the aspects of our wonderful Father and Jesus, because he is the Son of Ale. Okay? All right. Translate means Ale. And Jesus, all of Jesus is the same as the Father. All right. Now, let's go to the next one. Are you enjoying this?
Yes.
All right. Let's go on. Approximately 800 years before Jesus was born, Isaiah says, now there's Isaiah in Isaiah, so that's 800 years. Isaiah 7:40 says, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, with us is Ale. And chapter 9, verse 6, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. That means Prince of Shalom. One of the things that he will do as Emmanuel, he will bring you well-being into your life so you can speak to your tomato plant. And I love this, because we've got the Babylonian Empire, Roman Empire. We then got the Persian Empire. We've got some Persians in our church. Becoming Aussies, we hope. Amen. And you know, that's a good history. You come from a very good country in terms of history, mighty country. And so you've got the Babylonian Empire, okay, and then you've got the Persian Empire, then you've got the Greek Empire, and then you've got the Roman Empire. And Daniel saw all those. Daniel, the book of Daniel, he saw those empires. He said during the Roman Empire, a fifth kingdom would come, and it would be everlasting and know no end. And it goes on and says, the fifth kingdom as prophesied in Daniel chapter 2. Can you just turn over your page of your where your scriptures are, please? Oh no, where are we? Down the bottom of the page where we left off. Okay, Daniel 7:13, it's about two-thirds down your front page. Can you see it there? I saw in right visions, and behold, so he was there in exile. I saw in the night visions, and behold, on the clouds of the heavens came one like a son of man. And he came to the Ancient of Days. Who's the son of man?
Jesus.
Who's the Ancient of Days?
Father.
Yeah, the Father. Okay. And was presented before him. And there was given him the Messiah. Well, there tells you, the professors in Hebrew tell you it was the Messiah. dominion, glory, and kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom is one which shall not be destroyed. Way, way back there. Way, way back there. What we're doing in church today and becoming in church, and we've been restoring the grace covenant, coming back, and you know what? If you listen to Joseph Prince's favorite verse, Romans 5:17, we have been given righteousness that we might reign in Christ now.
Amen.
The kingdom is here. It started. And we will see its fullness. And it goes on and it says that that kingdom, let me just say this, it goes on and says that kingdom which started during the Roman Empire caused really the breakup of the Roman Empire. Because they wouldn't worship the emperor. And in our pastor's ministry school, we've gone through it on the television. You know, we had a numbers of hours just looking at from Christ to Constantine. And there was exactly 2.5 years, and in the last years, very, very few people escaped. They took their hymn books. They took their houses. They burned their houses. This Christian persecution was huge by the Roman Empire. Under Diocletian. Was it Diocletian?
Yeah.
I think it was. Under him, and he had some junior emperors. And one of them, his name was like Gaius, but something started with G, and he actually wielded enormous power, and the Christians were just, you know, cut into pieces and fed to the lions. It was just the most horrible thing. But, you know, even though it went underground, right into underground Christianity, that only lasts 2.5 years. And you know Daniel prophesied that? You know Daniel said? That the kingdom would nearly be wiped out, and it said the saints would have to endure that. It's all there in the book of Daniel. Beautiful. I'd like to teach on it one day. All right, let's just move on. Did I read all of that? And all the dominions. Yeah, okay, let's just move on here. All right. Elyon, now we know what ale means. Ale means intervene, right? Now what about Elyon? Because we're doing this first triplet. We're doing the first name of the triplet, three names. Most High, Supreme. Ale Elyon, God Most High, the ruler over all. To understand its meaning, we should know that this word Elyon is applied in Scripture to other things. Think of a ladder, and the top run is called the Elyon run. Think of a pile of hats. The top hat is called the Elyon hat. So Ael Elyon means the top spirit in the world. God Most High. He is high and rules over all. See? Alright? But whenever it is used in special and distinctive senses, always that the personal thing it speaks of is the highest of a series or order of like natures. Highest rung of ladder, top basket. I said that. Thus the word Elyon or Most High, when applied to God, conveys the thought that although he is the highest, there are others below him endowed by him with like natures, such as us. We were made by him specially, right? Okay? In the last day of the Creator. Okay? And we were like him. And so we've got a spirit. All spirit beings. However, because he is the highest, he has the power to rule and turn them as he will. He is the Most High God, the ruler over all, including all that he has made. Amen? All right, so that's what it means. So when Jesus came to earth, Emmanuel, was he called the Son of the Highest? Yes, he was. Let's go and have a look. Let me introduce you to Jesus again. All right, Luke 1, 32, 35. And listen, it says, this is what it says in the verse. And listen, this is what the angel said to Mary. You will become pregnant and will give birth to a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, and he will be great, eminent, and will be called the Son of the Most High. So he is Ael, and he is the Most High. So I'm trying to tell you about Jesus, but I'm getting him from the old and bringing it into the new. So what Abraham got is what we get in the grace covenant. We also find that Jesus is the Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth. I've got a few moments before I close. All right. He will reign over the house of Jacob through the ages, and of his reign there will be no end.
Amen.
Right? And Mary said to him, how can this be since I have no intimacy with any man as a husband? And
Then the angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High." He intervened. Will overshadow you like a shining star. And so the holy, pure, sinless thing which shall be born of you will be called the Son. Look, the Most High, Son of the Most High, will be called Son, mine, unique, begotten, a full expression of Son of God. That's who our Jesus is. He is El Elyon in our time of history. Amen? All right, I'm excited to teach you this. Now go back to Abraham. Right. Now, God promises to make Abraham a great nation. Look what it says. And to be a great nation, you know, if you're a great nation, do you think, what's that island that's got the asylum seekers on? Nauru. Is Nauru a great nation? No, it didn't. I think it did go to the Olympics. I think they were administrators. But I don't know whether they had any athletics, but the Olympics doesn't say whether you're great or not. India is a great nation, but it doesn't win many gold. But it still is a great nation. But, you know, it's a very populous. China used to be a great nation before we call it great now. You know, but if you want to be, if you're going to be, you know, I'm going to make of you a great nation, it says, and I'm going to bless you. Look, I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you. This is what God said to Abraham. See, with abundant increase of favors, it says in the Hebrew. Doesn't that sound like us? Yeah? And make your name famous. Yeah? And distinguished, and you'll be a blessing, dispensing good to others. All right, now let's think of how it happened. So that's when he got his call. Let's just come on a bit then. Abram tries many ways, as I said at the beginning, dispensing our compromise and self-effort was his Achilles heel to bring these three areas into being by his own ideas and self-effort. But Ael would like Abraham to simply trust him for all areas of his promise. Because he said, I will. Everyone say it.
I will.
And I will. Grace covenant. God will do it. So what's the key for us? Get out of the road and let God do it. Stop your self-effort first. Stop your worry and anxiety. Does that mean I just go, hey, Sarah, whatever. You remember us singing that in our house?
No.
It rest is active trust in the Lord. Active trust. It's not active anxiety. It's active trust. Let me ask you, those of you in business or working for other people, are you actively trusting God for your money and your wealth? Do you realize that everything comes from Jesus? So I was just thinking, you know, everything comes from him. And we'll talk about that. You know, I got two cars in the garage. One's Dine, one's mine. But actually, that came from the Lord. I was given a round-the-world yacht. It came from the Lord. I live in a nice house. Who owns it? Actually, God owns it. When you start realizing that all your possessions have come from God and he is ruler over all, and he can stop and start and help and intervene and all these things, all of a sudden you realize you're dealing with a wonderful Father who has in his heart kindness to bless you. He wants to bless you. So he started off the seed here. See? And he tries many ways. All right, let's go on to the next one. 10, there's only 12 folks, so we're nearly there. Okay, true revelation that Elyon is the possessor of heaven and earth. Now, I have to back up and just say quickly, Abraham brought Lot, and he probably shouldn't have brought Lot. And the shepherds argued, and when Lot left, he took half of the possessions of Abraham. Half of them. So can you imagine a person that's not at rest and say, you're going to be a great nation? We're going to be a great nation, you know, like Nauru. No, I wouldn't say it's a great nation. Nice people, but not a great nation. If you're going to be a great nation, you've got to have wealth. Do the Jews have wealth? Hello, do the Jews have wealth? A small nation, Mr. Rockefeller and all the rest of them, they own just about most of the wealth in the world. I will bless you. Oh, we've gone past that slide. And I'll make you a great nation.
Yes.
So you don't have to be big in size. Like Singapore is a very wealthy country. They got its first gold. First gold this last week. Did you enjoy that, Harry? I tell you, wasn't that exciting? And you're from Malaysia, you can't claim that. I like to claim it, but I can't. So what happened then? He has to go and rescue Lot. And he goes to rescue Lot, who's taken half of his possessions. He goes because there's a civil war. And he goes out with his trusted men. And very quickly, I tell you, he gets them. And he brings them back. And he's walking back. You've heard me say this. And he's got lots and lots of possessions now. He's got lots. He's got five kingdoms' possessions. And he's there. Then out of the blue comes a man called Melchizedek, who is a picture of Jesus. Says that in Hebrews. And Melchizedek says, let's sit down and have some bread and wine. Hello. Then he says, I've come to bless you in the name of El Yon. Then he says this, the possessor of heaven and earth. That's our Jesus. Nothing was made that was made without Jesus. Go and have a look in the chapter of John, chapter 1. Nothing came into being without Jesus. So all that is made, the oxygen, the nitrogen, our gas that we breathe, and everything else, was made by Him. This planet is a beautiful planet, isn't it? Try to live on Mars if you think it's not. So he begins to realize, I've been struggling in this area, compromising. I've got kings to pay me for having my wife. I've been struggling with Lot and his shepherds, and you know, now I've got him. Now I've got all my wealth back. I've got my wife. I've got my nephew. And then Melchizedek says, no, I'm blessing you in the name of God, the possessor of heaven and earth. Now he did what all kings did to war. He gave a tenth. I don't know whether you call that a tithe, but he gave him a tenth of everything. Then the king of Sodom said to him, he said, would you give me back all those people? And would you give me back this? But you can keep such and such. And do you know what he said? He said, if I keep what is yours, then you will say you made me wealthy. Take everything. Take it all. You want to read it? He says, take it all. And I'm not going to have anything unless God has provided it for me. He learns a tremendous thing about trusting God for all his possessions. Now, this is helping me to rest in the church finances. God is the possessor. Jesus is the possessor of heaven and earth. When he wants to send something to our church, he will send it. When he wants to bring people to our church, he will bring them.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. All right, now I just want to keep going just a little bit, because this is so rich. 2 Corinthians 8, though he is rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through the poverty might become rich. Abraham tries to get a people, but all his own efforts end in futility. Everyone say futility. He compromises with Hagar, so El reveals to him in his distress of being childless that El will grace him with special favor. And he first told them that in Genesis 12. He wants Abraham to rest in the covenant he has made with him, and he shows Abraham that his grace is more than enough. God is in covenant with you, the possessor of heaven and earth. He wants you to rest in this covenant. He wants you to rest and stop trying to make it happen. Rest. And when you rest, God will do the rest. It's amazing, this thing. It's just amazing. He wants Abraham to rest, and Abraham's grace is more than Abel reveals to him that he is El Shaddai, God Almighty, and he pauses and makes him. He says he was impotent, And now he's able to produce, and so is Sarah, and she develops her breasts again, and she can suck Leah, and she was beautiful. Otherwise, why was she sold into the harem? She was beautiful at age 90. And Abram was 100. Their aged bodies, life returns to aged bodies. Sarah gives birth to Isaac, the son of promise. What joy and laughter there was. This is the second grace truth. The first one he gets for his possessions. God is the possessor, I will trust him. Oh, I wish we could have time to read that. But secondly, this next one is, God is the one who brings me the children, not me.
Amen.
Not me. God who brings me the relationships, not me. Hallelujah. So he gets his Isaac, miraculously. And the third one, he plants a tree. Look at this. Oh, I love this. You know, I cried several times as I wrote this for you. The third grace revelation at Hechabah was to give Abraham and Sarah a family, a place to settle. Everyone say a place to settle. How do I know it was a place to settle? Because he actually planted the tamarisk tree. Pink and white flowers. I don't know what pink and white flowers, you girls might know what they mean. I don't know what it means. I looked it up, but it's a tamarisk tree. He planted a tree, and it was called the place of covenant, the well of the oak, Beersheba. He remembered the covenant that God had made with him in Genesis 15 and the blessings he told him about in Genesis 12. Look at this. They had been on the move for 25 years and never settled. Restless. Nomads. And never found a place they could call their own. Now they had complete trust in Ael, and from this point, grace superabounded in their lives, and finance came in like never before. The rest of faith finds ever increasing grace.
Amen. Amen.
Can you say amen? Amen. Let's thank the Lord. Amen. Genesis 21, Isaac is born. Hagar and her son are removed. Verse 33, they put down their roots. This is in Genesis 21. And he planted a tree of Beersheba, well of the covenant, and called on the name of El Olam, the intervener. The intervener, El Olam, the intervener, and this Olam means who guides and looks after the chapters of our life, the days of our life. There Abraham passed Mount Moriah test with flying colors. Jehovah, Yireh. He just went up and said, but I know God can do it. How would you like to live in a place of rest? We call it faith, I call it rest. A place of rest where you know God can do it. And so you're even careful what you ask for. Yeah. Yeah. And it's your shove. He sat down and settled. Now the whole world would be blessed in his seed, Emmanuel. And Jesus would come for us. All right, I'm closing with an application. Here we are. Let's have a look. Now, you can write these applications on the back of your notes or something, because I think this is good. Look. The new nature within us is kind. Do you believe the new nature is kind?
Yes. Amen.
And look at this. I just love this. Look. In Luke 6:35, it says, you will be sons of the Most High. For he is kind and charitable and good to the ungrateful and the selfish and the wicked. In God's economy, rule, in God's kingdom, his economy, kindness and rulership go hand in hand. Many people think a strong leader is sort of, you do that, you do that, no, 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 you do that, you do that, you do that. And in actual fact, in God's kingdom, rulership is kind. He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Easy.
Everyone say easy.
Easy.
It won't change. It's not dictatorial. You know, it's God's economy. His kindness does not come. Rulership is not dictatorship. It's kindness being shown. You ask a woman what she wants in a man most. Is it good looks? Does he want to look hot? Or is he kind? You can have a hot man, but I'm telling you what, if he's not kind, the hot soon fades away. Yeah. Yeah? All right, look at this next one. Every woman girls are saying, yeah, no, that's not right. We're in for a hot thing. Here we go. Next one, complete trust that he will make things happen because the river or waves of grace to flow complete trust. Just lift your hands and just say, Lord, I'm just entering into rest. That the fruit, I will be fruitful and multiply. There will be great fruit. Why? Because I'm now in that level of trust where I just trust Him. And He knocks on my door when I trust Him. He rings the phone when I trust Him. I love this one. He is the Most High God, ruler over all. Everything belongs to Him. Would you give all your possessions to Him now because they're all His? Just offer up your home right now. Come on. Your home might have a mortgage. Well, that's His mortgage too. God, honestly, I really want you to do this. I really love you. All your possessions, your car, everything, it all belongs to Him. There's nothing made that was not made. He has brought that to you. I always say, what a wealthy church. I go visit the homes of people. I say, man, this is amazing. All belongs to God. Hallelujah. Now, the good thing is, we do not chase money under this new covenant of grace. It chases us. We are not slaves to it. We are not slaves to money. God will richly supply all our needs according to the glorious grace that He has shown in Christ. That means it will be abundant. You are the possessor of heaven and earth. Why am I worried? He is the possessor and He can intervene. His name is El Elyon. He is the son of El Elyon. Oh, glory. He is the Most High God. Hallelujah. And look at this beautiful one here. Look at this beautiful one here. The Most High prospers us as we fully rest in Him. Stop trying. So I've said this in my prayer. Stop trying to chase money and possessions. Let them chase you. And the last one, guys. Enjoy His kindness. Would you like to lift your hands to receive His kindness this morning? Come on. That's the root, really, name of Ale. He's kind and He will intervene. Intervene in sickness. I've had that 3 times. I've been on death's door and He's intervened for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When the tomatoes don't grow, He intervenes for me. As I remember who I belong to. I belong to the possessor of heaven and earth. I'm one of His sons too. I'm a joint heir with El Elyon. Hallelujah. The full expression of the Most High God. Father, we thank You that our cars are Yours. They don't belong to New Creation Church. That's just a name. They actually belong to You. Our nice homes, better than most countries in the world. We call them ours, but actually they belong to You. And You've given them to us. The breath, the oxygen we breathe right now as we're sitting here, belongs to You. You're the possessor of heaven and earth. And You have been made, Lord, head over all things to the church. You have been made head over all things to the church. So we can command the blessing. We do not curse. We command the blessing. We command the blessing to our tomatoes. We command the blessing to our grandchildren. We command blessing because we are sons, joint heirs with El Elyon. And we rule in kindness. And what do we bless? Bless means we proclaim kindness into their lives. And you know what? It's kindness that brings people to repentance. It's the kindness of God. Jesus, we love You. We thank You. We've had a little look this morning that You are Emmanuel. And You are the Son of the Most High God. And we are Your brothers and sisters. Joint heirs with You, which means right now, what You rule over, we can rule over. Help us to rule in our homes, Lord. Help us to rule in our families with great kindness, knowing this kindness is what real rulership is all about. Let's enjoy your kindness. Lord, we pray a blessing now over this week. Would you lift your hand? Over this week, Lord, I pray great favor. Because in Abraham, we are joint heirs with Abraham. We are, Galatians says, joint heirs. Right now, receive, come on, abundance. Receive his abundance for you. Receive good health now. Receive good health. Good health. Bills paid. Mortgage paid. Blessing on the relatives. Good friends. Not broken marriages. Great, great love making. Amen. Great blessing on our marriages. Amen. Receive it if you're married right now. Blessing on your marriage. I proclaim blessing on everyone that comes to this church on their marriage and their relationships. They shall flourish. They shall be like vines laden with grapes. Hallelujah. The blessing of the Lord, who maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. Father, we rest in you. There's beautiful songs. We rest in you, our great Redeemer. We're going to sing the song as we close that we sang before. Thank you if you can put it on. Hallelujah. God bless you. Let's thank the Lord for his word. Hallelujah. Did you enjoy that? Good. I'm going to finish off. Dan's going to preach next week. I'm going up the beach near to Pastor Christine's their church up there at near Bribey Island. I'm going to be there next Sunday, one of our branches, and I'm going to by the way, we will probably be starting a branch.